today as we come to the table.
What is your motive? What are you seeking? I love it when the disciples were following Jesus after John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It says that two of the disciples started following the Lord, and the Lord turned around. He said, "You know, what are you seeking? What is it you're after? I want to know your heart." And he knew their heart. He's the Lord. But he looks at them, "What are you seeking?" And he made them think in their mind, what are we seeking? Are we seeking you because John said you're going to be a better church than we have? Are we seeking you because there's going to be more power with you? Why are we seeking you? And they gave a great answer. "Lord, show us where you're staying. We just want to know where you're staying." Which is really a great answer, because in essence, what they were saying was, we just want to be where you are. How many of you can say, "I just want to be where Jesus is"? See, that's the motive of our heart. That's where our heart should be.
What's the motive in your heart today? Do you truly desire to be in a relationship with Jesus, or are you in it to see what he can do for you? Well, in our study today, Jesus challenges the crowds as to why they're seeking him. When it came down to it, they just wanted to see more miracles and get another meal. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will challenge you to put aside your temporary desires and seek the Lord for who he is. The things of this world will fade away before you know it. Will you evaluate where your heart's at today and set your eyes on eternity before it's too late? As you consider that, we'll join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 6, as he begins his message entitled, Seeking Jesus.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to John, chapter 6. As we continue on looking at the book of John and John, chapter 6, and Jesus doing the miracle of the loaves and fishes, and not just that miracle, but what Jesus was teaching them and the lessons he wanted them to learn and that he wants us to learn as his followers. And we're in John chapter 6, verse 22. We're going to be covering verses 22 through verse 40. Let's read that together, and then we'll jump into the word and begin to dissect it more. Look what it says, verse 22. It says, "On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread, after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and they came to Capernaum seeking Jesus." Guys, as we look at this today in this passage, what we're going to be looking at today is seeking Jesus. And probably more than that is, why are we seeking Jesus? What is the motive? Is there a fleshly motive in seeking Jesus, or is there a spiritual motive in seeking the Lord? Now, probably no one would admit if they're here for a fleshly or worldly motive. And there is a proper place for a worldly motive, I guess you would say, in one way, not worldly in the non-spiritual sense, but we have needs. And God said, if you have needs, bring those needs to me and I'll meet those needs. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's, again, a marriage situation or a family or a job situation or whatever the case might be. The Bible says that God wants us to come to him with those. What Jesus is going to deal with today, though, is a crowd of people that are coming to him for what they can get from Jesus. Not because they love him, not because they care about him, but what they can get from him as they seek him. And I'll say this, everybody in this room today is seeking something. You're here for a reason. You're either here because you want to draw closer to the Lord, or you've got some need that you're seeking, or whatever the case might be. You're here for a certain reason it might be, and it could be things as simple as a healthier body, or as fleshly as a better golf game, or a new house, or a new car, or a new job, or whatever. It doesn't matter. You're seeking something. And you're probably thinking that if you could just have that thing, you'd be satisfied. If I could just get that, if I just get, you know, this is the one I want, that's the model I want, that's the one, or this is the house, or this is the thing, or that's the job, or whatever the case might be, and you're thinking that's going to satisfy. Listen to me. That is not going to satisfy you. It will give you a temporary satisfaction. It'll make you feel good for the moment. You're going to be excited about it for the time being. But in the long run, it simply doesn't satisfy. There is only one thing that satisfies, and that is a close relationship to Jesus Christ. There's nothing else matters, and there's nothing else that lasts. Now, again, these things that God gives us, they're blessings. God gives us all things richly to enjoy. I understand that. But it's the relationship that truly satisfies the heart. And many of us have different motives for seeking Jesus as well. Some, as we said, wanting that true relationship, and some maybe having the wrong motive or whatever it might be. But let me say this, whatever the motive, the Lord will meet you here today. Even if your motive is wrong, He will meet you right where you are. And He'll take that and He'll change your motive into a good one, because God wants you to want Him and He wants you to have the right motives to follow Him. But this is interesting as we get into this passage today, because we're going to see Jesus do something that's very, very rare in what I would say modern churches, if you want to call it that. If you want to look at the following Jesus had and think of Him as the pastor, the shepherd of that church in that day, He's at the peak of His following. This is the time when the crowds are the largest. He's been doing miracles. He's been doing signs. People are gathered everywhere following Him. They've just come from down south to come to the Galilee region to seek Him. Now He just fed over 5,000, we saw a couple of weeks ago, and the crowds are gathering, talking about this miracle worker and this man. But Jesus sees a problem. And that is, He looks in the hearts of each of them and He realizes, some of you are following Me for the wrong reason. You're following Me with the wrong motive. It's not because you want Me. It's because you want something for yourself. And we're going to see Jesus do something, not this week, but next week. When the story continues, He's actually going to begin to thin out the crowd. Now think about that for a moment. How many of us want our church to grow? I'm sure we do. We all want our fellowship to grow. We want to reach more people. We want to have a greater impact, right? Till the whole world hears. We want to reach as many as we can. And yet Jesus had the heart of saying, you know what? I want to reach as many people as I can, but I want sincere people, and I want to make people that aren't sincere, sincere. And so we're going to see Him actually begin to thin out the crowd. He's going to challenge them on their motives. Why are you here? He's going to start teaching hard teachings. If you don't eat of My flesh and drink of My blood, you have no part of Me. Whoa. Is this guy a cannibal or something? No. He's challenging them, stop looking at the fleshly things and start thinking spiritually. Unless you take Me in, unless you become one with Me and I become one with you, you're not going to have the relationship with Me that you want and that you need. It's not going to be real and it's not going to be sincere. And so this is where the challenge comes in today. And again, Jesus is going to, as we said, thin out the crowds. And that's something that you don't see many pastors. I mean, how many pastors show up on Sunday morning saying, well, we're going to thin out the crowd? And I'm not saying that should be the goal. But for Jesus, it was. Because He said, if you're going to follow Me, I want the real deal. I don't want any games. I don't want any playing. I don't want any religion. I don't want it for your sake. I want you to follow Me because I died for you and I love you and I saved you. And if you'll confess your sin, I'll get you into heaven. You'll have everything you ever needed or wanted for eternity, but where's your heart right now? Now, where we last left off, remember, we start really from 2 weeks ago. Jesus had fed 5,000 people plus on the hillside. They tried to make Him their king, if you remember, and it wasn't time for Him to be the king, and they had the wrong motive. They just wanted Him to be their king so He could give them all the meals they wanted and supply everything. You know, He was doing miracles to give them the physical things they needed. So yes, we want this guy around. He sends the crowd away, and He goes up to pray on the mountain. He also sends His disciples away, and He says, now go to the other side. I'll meet you over there. And again, we talked about, I don't know how they thought He was going to get there. He probably wouldn't have walked around. It was too far, but maybe another boat. I don't know if they even thought it through that much, but He sends them on. He goes up to pray, and then the storm comes. Remember from last week, Jesus sent them into the storm. And why did He do that? To show them His power over the natural, that He was supernatural. He did the miracle with the loaves and the fish, that He could meet their physical needs by His supernatural power. Now He shows them He's over nature. He's even over storms. He's even over gravity. He's walking on water. He goes to the boat. They think He's a ghost. He gets in the boat. Now they're at the shore. And this is where we take up, starting here in verse 22, because the crowds wake up the next day and they're seeking Jesus, but they're not seeking Him with the right motive. They're seeking Jesus with the wrong motive. They're seeking Jesus to get what they can get from Him. And again, we're going to see that the Lord's going to, as we said, thin them out. But this is where they are the next morning, and where we take up in verse 22. And notice it says, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one which His disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with His disciples, but His disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor His disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, and here it is, seeking Jesus. And I have that underlined. They came seeking Jesus. The question is, what was the motive? As we said, we're going to get into that. This is where Jesus is going to probe their hearts. Why were they seeking Jesus? They were seeking Jesus because Jesus fed them a good meal the night before. By the way, realize back in this day, not everyone went to bed with a full stomach. There were oftentimes you went to bed a little bit hungry. It was the wealthy who went to bed with a full stomach. And so the fact that Jesus showed up, did this miracle, and gave them this huge meal, they're thinking, this is our meal ticket. This is the guy to take care of all our needs and to do it to the full. Where did he go? Let's find him. And they're seeking him for the wrong reason. See, this is where we have to challenge our heart. And where I want you right now to challenge your heart, where you're sitting right now, in the privacy of your own mind and your own heart, why are you seeking Jesus? What's your motive? I mean, why are you here? Jesus is now probing your heart. And His Holy Spirit is going to be probing your heart throughout this service, asking you that. Why are you here? What is your motive? What are you seeking? I love it when the disciples were following Jesus after John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It says that two of the disciples started following the Lord, and the Lord turned around. He said, "You know, what are you seeking? What is it you're after? I want to know your heart." And He knew their heart. He's the Lord. But He looks at them, "What are you seeking?" And He made them think in their mind, what are we seeking? Are we seeking you because John said you're going to be a better church than we have? Are we seeking you because there's going to be more power with you? Why are we seeking you? And they gave a great answer. "Lord, show us where you're staying. We just want to know where you're staying." Which is really a great answer because in essence, what they were saying was, we just want to be where you are. How many of you can say, I just want to be where Jesus is? See, that's the motive of our heart. That's where our heart should be. We just want to be where the Lord is. And He's now going to draw this out of the crowd because they're wanting to be with Him because they want what He can do for them. They knew that He didn't leave with the disciples, and they knew it was impossible for Him to walk around to the other side without, you know, getting there, taking all night or whatever. Unless He had another boat, they knew that He wasn't there. So where was He? I imagine everyone looking frantically for Him that next morning. Where'd He go? I don't know. Have you heard? Have you seen? No. His disciples left. Where is He? I don't know. And so they get in the boat to go find Him. How they knew to go to Capernaum, maybe they heard the disciples say they were going that direction. Maybe the word got out that they'd gone to Capernaum. And so that's where they take off to try to find Him. And notice verse 25, when they found Him on the other side of the sea, because they all got in boats and went over there, they said to Him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" How did you get here? When did you get here? How did this take place? And again, their motive in their heart is not really because they want to be with Him, but if you're over here, we can't get from you what we want. Might be a better translation of the way of what they're really saying. And notice Jesus nails it. Verse 26, Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Now what's going on? Or notice we said that they were chasing after signs and wonders. The Lord says here it wasn't because of the signs, but because they ate and they were filled. It was the fleshly things they were seeking. But it's more than the fleshly provision that the Lord could provide for them that they were seeking. They weren't understanding what the signs were for. Now, notice this, guys. Signs have a certain purpose in Scripture. A sign is to reveal something. It's not just a miracle or a wonder. It is something that reveals something to you. Jesus was revealing that He was God. He was revealing that He had all power and all authority. So when He gave these signs, He was wanting them to understand who He was. But instead of taking the sign for who Jesus was, they took Jesus for what they could get. See, that's where we know our motive is wrong. And that's why I said, what's your motive for being here this morning? Are you here? Here's a better question. Would you love Jesus if He didn't pay your rent? Would you love Jesus if your marriage didn't work out? Would you love Jesus if you weren't healed? See, this is the real test about whether we really love Him or not. If we're only after Jesus for what we can get, our motive is wrong. And there's not the love for the Lord that He wants to cultivate. Again, I want to give this balance because, as I said, it's not that we're not supposed to let Him know. If you're here today and your marriage needs the Lord, pray for it. If you need your bills covered, pray for it. If you need whatever your need is, lay these things at the feet of the Lord. There's nothing wrong in that. He desires that. But it's the motive behind it and where our heart is that matters to the Lord. Are you seeking me, the Lord would say, because you love me and want me and seeking the things of the Spirit? Or are you simply wanting to make sure your rent's going to be paid? You know, there is a promise God made. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. But notice the order He did it in. If you seek first the kingdom of God, you're going to be thinking spiritually. And your motives are going to be right. But if you're seeking first the kingdom of the world, then you're reversed. And that's when it becomes difficult for the Lord to really work in our life the way He wants to work. He says, you guys, you're wanting another meal. You see me as the one that's going to supply all your physical needs. And yes, I will do that. If you seek me, I will do that. I promise to take care of you. But you've got to understand your motive needs to be because you want me. because I want you and I died for you and I love you. And he's now going to just sort this out. Like I said, next week we're going to see that part of the crowd even goes away. He's going to begin to separate the crowd because they're seeking him for the wrong reason. It's interesting to me to think that the Lord would begin to separate us out because we're seeking for the wrong reason. But there's a godly love in that, and here's why. If God filters us out because we have wrong motives, it gives us time to go away in our wrong motive and to think about it. And think, what is my motive? Why am I wanting God to do this in my life? What am I doing wrong? What does God want to do in me? Listen, there's nothing like God allowing hardship to come into our life to get our attention. And so the Lord here is saying, you know what? You guys have your heart in the wrong place. Notice what he says, verse 27. You need to be looking at the spiritual things. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. Notice this. He says, you're laboring for temporary things. Listen, if anything that I've noticed is how fast life is going by. And I do know that we have to work and we have to provide for our family and we've got to do all these things. You know, a study came out this week. Maybe you saw the study that came out this week that talked about there's a much higher employment rate among married men than single men. Well, that doesn't take a genius to figure out, right? You've got to provide for your wife. You've got to provide for your kids. I mean, there's a purpose and there's a motive there to be able to provide. So we have to survive. But again, the longer I live and the quicker I see this life going, guys, I realize how little the things down here matter. Jesus is what matters. And when we stand before him that day, before his throne, we're not going to care what kind of car we drove or what kind of house we had or anything else. All we're going to care about is, did I give my heart completely to Jesus and am I loving him and serving him? That's how wonderful to be able to grasp that when you're young. I want to encourage those of you guys that are young. You know, I didn't come to the Lord till I was 25 years old. A big chunk of my life, of my youthful strength, was wasted on the world. If you can grab that youth for God and use it now, because I'm telling you, the Bible says, you know, before the windows get dim and before the sound in the streets get quiet, that basically before your eyes quit working and your ears aren't hearing good anymore, serve God. It's a very poetic way that he speaks of there in the Proverbs about saying, look, everything's wearing out. Use what you've got now for Jesus because you're not going to get another chance to use it for him. And so he needs to flesh out, so to speak, the motives of what they're doing. You're looking for food that's temporary. You're not looking for things that last eternally, which really matter eternally. And he says, those are the things I'll give you. And notice, I can do that because the Father has set his seal on me. I'm the one that was called. I'm the one anointed. I'm the only one that can do this for you. Guys, Jesus is the only one that can get you into heaven and is the only one that can fill your heart. Nobody else can do that. No other religion. No other spiritual movement. It is just Jesus. And what a privilege you have to know that. What a privilege you have to discover that. So many are lost. So many don't know that. You do know that. And he says, you're not seeking me for the intended purpose that the sign was there for, which was to reveal that I'm your God and your Messiah. Your focus is on the worldly rather than the spiritual. And again, just showing that their motivations were completely wrong. You're wanting something, which again, there's nothing wrong in some of these things. But you need to be seeking me. You know, think of how many today, guys, are seeking the Lord for what they can get from him. They want to be healthy. And so they say, well, I'll seek God because God will heal my disease or God will heal me of this. He may do that. But the truth of the scripture is he may not do it. You read Hebrews chapter 11. A lot of the most godly people that ever lived were broke. They didn't have a meal that night. Sometimes they didn't have clothes. God never promises health and wealth. And there's a lot of churches that teach that God wants everybody healthy, God wants everybody wealthy. And let me say this, when we die and go to heaven, everybody will be healthy and everyone will be wealthy, guaranteed. I can promise you that. But the bottom line is there's no promise of that down here. And some of the most godly people that have ever lived died broke. Some of the most godly people that have ever lived died diseased. That doesn't mean that God doesn't heal diseases. He does sometimes. It doesn't mean that God doesn't bless sometimes financially the people that know him. He does. But here's the bottom line. God's goal is not to make you healthy and wealthy in the physical things. God's goal is to make you healthy and wealthy spiritually, so to speak. God wants you to love him for who he is and find your riches there. It's interesting. The Bible says where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Notice he doesn't say where your heart is, your treasure will be. Because where your heart is oftentimes is where your treasure is. He's speaking to believers. See, the world does that. The world says where your heart is, your treasure will be. Look around you. You'll find the people that have what in their heart, what they want, they're going to put their treasure there. But notice how God reverses it for the believer. He says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. He said, you've got to decide, where do you want your treasure to be? If you put your treasure in me, your heart's going to follow. Again, wrong motivation is what this crowd was seeking. They were a manna-seeking crowd. And there are still people today, that, again, they come to church to get the riches, to get the wealth, to see the miracle. And again, I'm all for that. I've seen great miracles. God has done great miracles in this fellowship over the years. God has truly done signs and wonders in this fellowship over the years. But if you're coming for signs and wonders, you're coming for the wrong reason. You need to be coming simply to love the Lord, and then whatever happens, happens. You know, it's interesting, the disciples, when they were feeding the 5,000, they weren't there for signs and wonders. They were there to hear him teach. He went up on the hillside, he opened the word of God, and he began to give them bread from heaven. And they gathered around, began to listen to the Lord give that to them. And all of a sudden, when they were done, the Lord said, now, you sought first what was important. You sought me, you sought my word. Anybody hungry? I'll provide for you. I'll provide. He says, what do we have? Well, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Have them sit down. Can you imagine the disciples again, when they're seeing this miracle? So here's what I'm saying. The benefits of walking with God come as you walk with him, but make sure the motivation is right. Make sure your heart motivation is right. Where is my motivation? What am I seeking from God? And I think it's probably a good test to ask yourself this morning, why am I here right now? Not even just in general, why am I going to church? Why did I come this morning? Again, if it's just because you're supposed to do it, that's not the right motive. So don't labor for the food that won't last. Labor for the food that's eternal. God has set his seal on Jesus. He's the one to seek. So he's trying to get their eyes off of the flesh and onto him. And notice verse 28, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Now, isn't this just like us? Jesus basically says to them, your motives are wrong. You're seeking God the wrong way. And they say, all right, well, what can we do around the church to get it right? What can I do? What kind of work can I do? Can I come to church Sunday night, Wednesday night? So, you know, do this, do that, whatever, and make God happy. It's not the works that you do that make God happy. It's Jesus. It's receiving Jesus that pleases the Lord. You simply receive him, and then God does the rest. But our tendency is to think we have to earn something. We have to work our way into it. Now, let me give that balance again as well. That doesn't mean that you don't serve the Lord. You should serve the Lord, and God calls you to serve the Lord. But your motivation shouldn't be that I'm going to serve him because now I'm going to make him happy and he's going to do things for me. There's a whole mindset. We have to realize we're part of his family. We do it because we love him and he loves us. Can you imagine if your kids just came home and just started doing the dishes and cleaning the house and just like, why are you doing that? Because if I don't, you'll kill me. Now that's one motivation, right? That's a motivation, right? I'd be in trouble. What if they did that and you just came and said, why did you do that? I just want to help out. I mean, I'm part of the family. We all have to kind of do our part. Well, first you'd pause and feel their forehead. Okay, call the authorities, get some kind of feedback, right? But I joke about that on an earthly level. That's what God wants from us in the family, guys. As the family of God, what he wants us to do is say, I'm a part of the family, what can I do? Not because I have to. I don't have to do the dishes to get into heaven. He did all the dishes for me. I don't know why the dishes illustration came up, but if somebody's convicted, go with it anyway. The bottom line is that I'm part of the family. You know why I want to help around the house? The reason I want to help around the house is because God's been gracious enough to bring me into his home and to love me and to show me love and to give me a place to sleep and to be loved and to eat and to live life and to be a part of a family. It's a blessing to be a part of. This is a privilege, guys.
That ends our time at the table of God's Word for today. Pastor Mark is taking us through the book of John, the last of the four Gospels in the New Testament. This book follows Jesus through his ministry while he was here on earth, but gives you a unique perspective from one of Jesus' apostles. John paints a picture for you of the Son of God, a Savior who has all the authority and power of heaven. And we're so glad you tuned in to discover this testimony of our Lord, and we hope you'll continue to join us. Do you have a question about what you heard today? We're here to answer them. You can call 865-609-1385 or visit the Pastor Mark Kirk page on Facebook or visit the contact page on PastorMarkKirk.com. And if you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark to tell you more.
If you don't have a home church, I'd love for you to come and join us this Sunday morning at either our 9:30 or 11:15 services. We also have a Bible study on Sunday evenings at 6, a 7 p.m. service on Wednesday, as well as activities for kids, youth, and college throughout the week. No matter what time you can come, each time we get together is a sweet time of community and learning about God. If you'd like more info about who we are and what we do, just go to PastorMarkKirk.com and click on Our Church in the menu.
Thanks, Pastor Mark, and we hope you can join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study of John the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.